Heavenly Father, as we enter this sixth week of Easter, we give you thanks and praise for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that you would send him into our lives, our advocate, our interior teacher, to guide us and lead us into all truth, but most importantly, to bless our lives with that experience of joy. And so we just pray as we prepare for our upcoming celebration of Pentecost in a couple of weeks that we would be mindful of this gift and allow you through your grace to fan it into flame, that we all be strengthened in our inner self and eager, ready at all times to give an account for the hope inside of us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. So we've been reading all throughout the Easter season the wonderful account of how different the early church was because it had experienced the grace of Pentecost. And so it's operating under that anointing, and great, powerful miracles were happening. And I think I told you the story years ago about St. Thomas Aquinas was taking the Pope through the Vatican, and they looked at all the treasures that they had collected over the years, and, you know, they had kind of gotten a lot of stuff from different countries and so forth. So he said, you know, we can't say gold and silver we have not anymore. And so the Pope said that to Thomas, and Thomas said, perhaps that's why we can't say rise and walk. We're distracted, right? And when we don't welcome the Holy Spirit, then we really get off track with our mission. We become very worldly, and a lot of things don't happen. And the greatest sign is the lack of joy, because joy is a sure sign of the presence of God. So the whole purpose was we were created to abide in God, this communion, and this comes through the activity and work of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus, when he was resurrected from the dead and appeared to Mary Magdalene, said, "Do not cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my heavenly Father." She wanted to relate to him in the way she had before. And it's like, no, I'm preparing you for something different. You're going to relate to me now through the grace of Pentecost, through the grace of the Holy Spirit. But you will feel my presence, and I will abide in you, and you will abide in me if you open your heart to this grace of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. And that's the plan God has for each one of us, that we feel that deep love, that we're children of God, that he spared no expense to bring us into his family by taking on the cross. And I think if we look around the world today, a lot of people haven't had that experience. They're living out of a false sense of self. They're very unhappy. Just you look at like depression, suicidal ideations, and so forth, and that there's a lot of unhappiness and oppression in the world. So the apostles were right on that and proclaiming in the name of Jesus that he can liberate you from that oppression, from the lies of the enemy, who's the greatest put-down artist roaming the face of the earth. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into truth, that see what love the Father has for us, that we're called children of God, and so we are. So that's why there's a lot of talk in the weeks in the past and in the couple weeks coming up before the Ascension and Pentecost about rediscovering this gift of the Holy Spirit, which I think is crucial for the life of the church right now. And we have some challenges ahead of us. You know, I missed the meeting on May 3rd. I told you that. It was in the Holy Land, and we came back the next day. And I found out that my initial inclination that they were going to give us folders and make recommendations on consolidating or closing parishes, they did do that. Now, it's confidential right now, but in September you're going to find out their recommendations. But I went and met with my brother priest on Friday who were at the meeting. And let me just say, because it's confidential, I'll just give you a vague kind of what they shared with me. But one of them is in a deanery that currently has 14 parishes. They've been asked to go to 4 parishes. From 14 to 4, that means 10 parishes are closing down. That's just one deanery. And somebody else said they heard that 164 parishes, 124? What was the number, Oren? To 64, like over half. So there's going to be some very difficult, painful decisions that are going to have to be made in the months ahead. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we, to help us through this and not to lose our focus and our joy in the Holy Spirit. But it's just part of our decaying culture, the lack of zeal and enthusiasm in sharing the gospel. It's just kind of, you know, many things that led us up to this place. But if you have the Holy Spirit, you always have hope. You don't need to hit the panic button. But we're shrinking, and we have to be more wise about our resources and sharing our priests, how many priests we have, you know, and so forth. So God is going to take care of us. We've been watching and reading the last 6 weeks about how they faced challenges. Last weekend was the permanent diaconate. They had some problems, and so the Holy Spirit said, set aside 7 men who are godly, filled with the Holy Spirit, and they will have a special ministry for the church. That's our permanent diaconate we've had for centuries, right? So God is going to give us what we need to do all these things that are coming down the pike. But the one thing we need the most is more joy in the Holy Spirit. That's really lacking. You can just see, like, people don't get that. And in the first reading, the joy in that town was incredible because Philip was there, Philip the deacon, not the apostle, you know, proclaiming the gospel, and people were getting delivered from evil spirits, and all kinds of amazing things were happening, and there was joy in that city. Don't we want joy in Tukwila? Don't you think Tukwila needs a little more joy? A little less graffiti, more joy? I do. So we need to pray and welcome that in our church today. And be ready at all times. And one of the ways that you can increase your joy is by helping other people experience the Holy Spirit. I love to do Life in the Spirit seminars. And a lot of times, the people who come have already been through it once, twice, three, four times. But it's never like, been there, bought the t-shirt, done that. There's always a deepening of that grace in the Holy Spirit that happens. And I just love to see how the Holy Spirit moves during those conferences and workshops to help people experience yet again the love God has for them, or to be delivered from some oppressive force or activity in their life. And it's always exciting. You just never know what's going to happen. You know, but we need more of that joy and the desire to be ready at all times to give an account for the hope inside of us. I found a great message. I want to end just with the last part of it. It was from World Youth Day 2012. It wasn't one of those actual gatherings in a big city like this year. They're going to Lisbon, Portugal for World Youth Day. But they always have a message for young people. And this is Benedict XVI. This is the last one he delivered because he resigned shortly after this. But he talks about how Christianity is not depicted in the right way. The whole message is about we have the capacity to experience joy. God wants us to be happy and joyful. So here's what he says. Christianity is sometimes depicted as a way of life that stifles our freedom and goes against our desires for happiness and joy. But this is far from the truth. Christians are men and women who are truly happy because they know that they are not alone. They know that God is always holding them in his hands. It is up to you, young followers of Christ, to show the world that faith brings happiness and a joy which is true, full, and enduring. If the way Christians live at times appears dull and boring, you should be the first to show the joyful and happy side of faith. The gospel is the good news that God loves us and that each of us is important to him. Show the world that this is true. Show the world that this is true. There are many people in the church today who sit back and complain about other people. And certainly in all walks of life and vocations, there are spirit-filled people who are really pursuing holiness and happiness in their life. And there's some that are just really lost and they're dull and boring. You can say that about bishops, priests, lay people. I mean, there's some people that are really on fire with the Holy Spirit, and others it's like, wake up. You're like a dormant volcano. Nothing's going on really, you know. But the million-dollar question isn't to sit back and to determine somebody else whether or not they have that joy. Do you and I have that joy in our own lives? Do people leave a conversation with us more hopeful about their future or more, you know, wow, that was a real blessing to talk to you today? Or did we just be pessimistic and start putting people down like everyone else is doing? It always comes back to us. Do I have the joy of the Holy Spirit? You're not going to be judged on Judgment Day about anyone else but yourself and myself. What am I doing to promote the gospel and to bring the love of Jesus Christ into this very broken world? That's the million-dollar question, and many people aren't asking it. And many people haven't experienced that joy and that baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I'm praying for that. That was the pilgrimage, the grace of Pentecost. Lord, bring it on. Bring it down. We need that joy in the Holy Spirit right now in our church. Amen?
Amen.
And who does it start with? Us. Amen.